Welcome to episode 410 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and brings us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Lindsay, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Elizabeth, Sandy, Donna, and George. Norwegian Cruise Line just launched a brand new class of ships called Prima Class. Instead of getting bigger, Norwegian has chosen to go smaller, creating a more spacious, more sophisticated cruising experience. And Elizabeth was invited to sail on the inaugural naming cruise, and she's here tonight to tell us all about what she experienced. And I have to say, I'm really, really, and I'm not typically excited about Norwegian ships, but this one is very intriguing. So tell me, I have to ask right out the gate, food.
Okay.
How many meals did you get to eat on the ship?
So there were good. So I ate the same number of meals that anyone eats on a cruise ship, which is about five a day. I think that there's some pluses and minuses to how Norwegian does cruising. So Norwegian sort of came out with freestyle dining years ago that said, we're not going to, you know, have a set dining time. You can come when you want. And then they've moved into more specialty dining, which is what all cruise lines do. It's nothing different in that regard. But the cruise that I was on was basically a combination of an inaugural cruise and a shakedown cruise. And for those who are not in the industry out there, our listeners, a shakedown cruise is literally where they basically are testing things out and just seeing if it works. And so what that means is some things don't work. And so it's kind of hard to, you know, it was the first time they had they didn't have paying guests on board. Nobody on this ship was paying. So it was the first time they had guests though to cater to. And they had important guests to cater to. There's the obvious, you know, Katy Perry and her husband, Orlando Bloom, were on the ship for a few days, but then also all of the investors, all the bankers, all the executives, and you have to, you know, make them happy. And so it means that little lowlies like me don't get to necessarily eat a specialty dining the way that it was intended to be. I was very fortunate in that I have some friends in high places. So I did get into specialty dining. I'm very grateful for that. But I do believe there were people on board who didn't get to try the specialty restaurants at all. And so the specialty restaurants are fabulous. And I didn't hear a bad thing about a single one of them from anybody who got to go. But the key thing to know is one of the big changes Norwegian has made with this ship, and they intend to roll it out to their other ships, is the main dining rooms, and there are two, have the same menu every night.
Yeah.
And that sounds about as boring as it is. Now, I will say, on a normal cruise, when you change the menu every night, you don't have as many choices. So it's one menu, but it's a more expansive menu. So there's a lot, there are enough choices where you could eat something different every night. However, there's no menu that somebody likes everything on the menu. That's a generalization. There are menus where I literally want one of everything, but, you know, maybe something's a little bit more spicy. Maybe there's too much fruit with the meat. Maybe you don't eat pork, you know, so there's different reasons why you might not eat all of the things on the menu. And with that, it became very limiting. By the third time in the main dining room, we were like, we're done with this menu. And the executives, the company line on this was, well, it's like when you go to your favorite restaurant, you always see the same menu and you like that, right? Yeah, but I don't go to the same restaurant every night all week long for a week.
No.
You know, yeah. When I go back to that restaurant, it's been a little while since I've been there, and I'm so excited to see those things again. So I would say that my biggest point of advice would be, if you're going to mix main dining room and specialty, try to make sure that you space the main dining room out and you get specialty in between. Don't do your main dining room first and then your specialty, which is what I ended up doing because they sort of had to squeeze me in at the end after all the executives got off the ship. So
So from my understanding, from a foodie perspective, only looking at this as an outsider, as the marketing was rolling out, that their concept, they were trying to come at food from a new angle, kind of like we've seen Virgin do, where they were doing more specialty areas for food and making that the focus. So having the main dining room have the same menu, because one of the problems when you are a specialty aficionado and you go to the specialty dining every night is that the one night that you're in the main dining room might not be the best menu that they have that week for you. And then it becomes this piecemeal. So the, one of the things that as an outsider intrigued me about Norwegian, and I'm not somebody who gets excited about NCL, but that concept of taking food to the next level for them and really putting the focus on individual little pockets of experience. Is that kind of true, or am I misinterpreting?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. And I will say, like, one of the things that they said coming out of the gate was, this gives us a chance to make the food that's in the main dining room on the menu every night better. And we're going to excel at it. And I'm going to tell you right now,
I'm so excited.
The New England clam chowder that I had was the best New England clam chowder I've ever had. And I've had some New England clam chowder. I mean, it was really, really good. Then the steak I had was fair to Midland at best. Chris really liked his steak. So,
Was it just not cooked correctly, or?
It was actually cooked just fine. I didn't like the sauce on it. That was a peppercorn sauce that I thought was just a little too over the top. Yeah. And there wasn't really, I mean, I guess I could have asked for it without the sauce, but of course I want to try it the way that the way the chef intended it. There was nothing really wrong with the meat. I will say it was a thinner cut of meat. So it's a cut that I generally wouldn't normally order. Like, when I order steak, that's not my preferred cut of steak. So, completely honest, it's probably not going to be to my taste anyway, but it was well prepared. Like, it was prepared the way that I asked for it to be prepared.
It gives them a chance to focus more on getting those food items right, which is something that's so hard to do when you've got, like, what is this?
Yeah.
3,214 capacity if everyone's double occupancy. So that's something, that we might take as consumers very lightly when we get great food on a cruise ship, but it is really a task for that to happen on that level and do it consistently. So I'm excited about that. And I have to apologize. This is why you shouldn't let the foodie host the, I'm right out the gate. So let's back up and talk about the ship for people who might not know.
Well, and there's more. I would like to visit food again. If you promise me we can visit food again.
We'll come back.
Because we only talked about the main dining rooms, but there are some other complimentary choices on board. So we should come back to it. The main thing to start with the ship is that it's a medium-sized ship, like tonnage-wise, but they're not putting as many people on it. And that shows in everything. And, a colleague was on board who sees a lot of ships of all shapes and sizes. And he said that to him, and I agreed with this. I was thinking this in my head, but I don't see as many ships as he does. So it was good to hear him say this. This is actually a premium ship. Like, when there's mass market, which is what Norwegian generally is. Mm-hmm. There's premium, which most people would associate with Disney Cruise Line, also celebrity. And then there's luxury.
Asmara.
Right. And so, And so when you get up to luxury, it's not quite there, but it is definitely premium. And you can see that in the amount of space that each person has, but also in the decor. I was really fortunate that the designers were on board with me. And so I actually every now and then would watch them walking around looking at what they did. And every now and then I could overhear a conversation. Maybe if I walked over and leaned.
And nonchalant.
Nonchalantly just leaned in. But they were talking about some of the design concepts. But honestly, the fabrics, like the theater, the seats in the theater are all crushed velvet. That's just sumptuous.
Oh, wow.
It's really, really lovely. And all the seats that I sat in were comfortable. And as a person of size, that's something. When you sit down on a cruise ship, a lot of times it's like, oh, I can tell that this was not molded to my butt. It was molded to somebody's butt, but it wasn't my butt. But everything, even chairs that looked like they
might. You got to ease in sideways so you don't take the seat up with you when you stand up from dinner.
Exactly. Everything was comfortable once you sat down, and even chairs that I looked at and was like, that's not going to be comfortable. And the Soleil bar at the back of the ship, the furniture out there is so nice. Like, they have these conversation couches and different configurations of furniture that would suit from one person up to like 10 people. And, you know, couches and chairs and floofy cushions, and, you know, just, it just, everything was a step up. And then actually, this can bring me back to one of the other complimentary restaurants, which I hope stays complimentary, called Indulge. And it's basically modeled after a food truck rodeo. And Virgin has tried to do something kind of similar, and it's sort of the same. But the thing that made me think that NCL sort of raised the bar on this is when you walk in there, there's different areas and tables. You can sit down at a table, your iPad, as long as you're not sitting directly at the food truck itself. Like, if you're sitting at their bar, then you only get their menu. But if you're sitting at a table anywhere in the restaurant, you have an iPad with every dish from every one of the food trucks, the stations. And they'll bring the food to you, and it's fast, unlike a food truck. So, but then each individual area, so the ones that are near the noodle bar are themed like they might be in a noodle bar, and the ones near the salad bar are themed like the ones that might be in a vegetarian restaurant. Like, and then, you know, sort of a, there's a sort of a Hispanic Mexican kind of restaurant, and it's got, you know, one has booths, and one has, you know, they have different types of furniture around the restaurant. So it's not like your normal buffet where everything, all the furniture is the same. It looks like little tiny restaurants, but you could sit anywhere and get anything. Yeah. And it's so good. And the problem with it was so busy the first 2 days that the executives were starting to be like, oh, you know, I've created a monster. They actually called it Frankenstein a couple of times. I've created a monster. But by the end of the cruise, it actually had calmed down quite a bit. I think people sort of gotten over the initial excitement of it. And I'm hoping that it isn't so busy that they start charging for it, because they could very easily do that. It's got the same sort of format as Food Republic, which has been on a couple of other ships and is a great concept. But it has the iPad ordering, and you order as much as you want. It's a la carte pricing. They could totally do that with this restaurant. So I really hope that they don't. But that's connected then to the Soleil bar outside, and you could eat outside. And because this ship is designed for both warm weather and they do cold weather itineraries, all the outdoor spaces have these heaters above them. So you could actually sit outside. If it's freezing cold, you can't do it. But if it's just chilly, then nice and warm. So
where was that food truck place? Is it like on the pool deck or?
No. It's, I think it's on deck 15. Is it on the pool deck? Sorry.
Because the part you were talking about on the aft of the ship looked like it was pool deck, like the back of the pool deck, kind of. I don't know.
Soleil bar. Yeah. Looked from the pictures, looks like it was on the pool deck, but.
Nope, there's no pool on that deck. It's the, it's deck 8. So it's pretty low. Oh, you know what? There are pools on that deck. The Infinity Beach is on that deck. So those are the side pools, the ones that you've seen in all the pictures, the little infinity pools. So it is there. But that's the thing about the layout of this ship. I got to tell you, you really have to walk it to understand it. And even then, and again, and this came up a lot this week while I was on the ship too, it reminds me a little bit of Virgin in that there are weird dead ends, and some places lead to places you wouldn't expect them to lead. One of my biggest pain points is on the deck that has the actual buffet, which is the pool deck and is deck 17. If you're in the aft elevators, which is where our room was closest to, you come up and you're in a hallway that one way goes to Palomar and Food Republic. The other way goes to the buffet, and the buffet stretches along the port side of the ship there. So for you to get to the pool deck, you either have to walk through the buffet or through Palomar, which is a specialty dining restaurant. Now, during the day, it's empty, so you can walk through it, but it's still a little weird, you know, to walk through the buffet, especially in these post-COVID times. And they're like, washy-washy. And you're like, oh no, I'm just passing through.
Yeah.
And then you get halfway through and you're like, oh, that pizza looks really good. And you grab a slice of pizza on your way out to the pool deck. And you think of all the 800 people who did the same thing and didn't wash their hands first because they thought they were going to the pool deck. So I'm not a huge fan of that.
I think that might be a problem universally with these new ships that are coming out, because I was just on a newer ship recently for a different cruise line that had the same issue where you have to go through the buffet to get to the elevators. So you're going in to get up and down, or coming through to get out to the pool. So that might be a newer ship issue when they're, as they're trying to fit enough room for all these new experiences and spaces and the logistics of getting people from, you know, one deck to another is.
And don't get me wrong, I'm kind of glad that the buffet isn't sitting at the back of the ship like every other ship out there. Like Indulge, actually, the food truck rodeo sort of takes the place of that, but it's in a lower deck where you do have the views out the back of the ship. But at the same time, I don't really want to walk through it in order to get to the pool, you know.
So there's 13 bars.
And I went to every one of them, Lindsay.
I'm so proud of you. I feel like this is like watching a little duckling, you know.
Yes, well, they gave me 8 nights. It's much easier to do it on an 8-night cruise than it is on a 2-night, which is what these usually are, even a 3 or 4 night. I will say there are a couple that I didn't really partake of much because of just where they were. And that's not including the Haven. I wasn't invited into the Haven. So I didn't get to experience that bar. And then also the pool bar, it was a pool bar. I didn't feel like I had to sit there and drink.
Only one I care about is Proof. Did you go to Proof?
Oh, yes, of course I did. However, this is another design problem that I have. When you hear whiskey bar, what do you think?
Oh God, I think
wood paneling
and a like gorgeous a kind bar. Of a, yeah, a gorgeous bar, kind of a conversational alcove with really comfy seats and beautiful casks of aged whiskey. Was it not like that?
Yeah, it's in the atrium, all white furniture.
Yeah.
We literally walked up and I was like, is this the whiskey bar? Now, I will say chairs, super comfortable, but it wasn't.
That sounds like a gin bar. White. And that sounds like that should be a gin bar.
Yep.
Why don't they call me? Like,
I know. And it is, it's right outside of Onda. So maybe a wine bar even, like, you know, to have that sort of like, and the humidor on the breakaway class, the whiskey bar is right next to the humidor, which is the cigar lounge, which seems a very good place for it. They do the dark wood and everything. And it is right next to the Italian restaurant. But I had to wonder like what the thought was. It was almost like they were like, well, okay, where are we going to put the whiskey bar? we got to have it. And it was a fine whiskey bar, but I didn't really want to sit there. Like, it wasn't where I wanted to like lounge about because it was in the middle of everything. So we didn't spend as much time there as I normally would have, which was good because what I end up doing on the breakaway class is I'm like, I'm going to try all the bars. And then every time I go right back to the whiskey bar,
Someday I want to see a reality show of like how these ships come to life and the design team who has a completely different vision versus the building team and the logistics. What do you mean you want to put what where?
Yeah. Yeah. I've already expressed, I love this design team. Like what they did was just amazing. And the chairs were super comfortable, but I do feel like that was sort of an afterthought of, and maybe they have some artistic, it wasn't ugly. It just wasn't what I wanted a whiskey bar to be. Like it didn't have that like wrap me in your arms.
Whiskey is about history. It's the aging process and it's historic storytelling at its best. Yep. It sounds very anyway. Okay, so that's the bar. So activities. Did you have 8 nights, so did you get to check any?
Yeah, so I actually did the go-karts, which I've been on ships like 4 times now that had the go-karts and I hadn't done them before. They've moved the go-karts to the center of the ship, which I also like, and it's a 3-story racetrack. I think I like it until I was sitting by the pool and the go-karts started up and they run right by the pool deck. That wasn't great, but they're not horribly loud. It was just, it's not a quiet, peaceful pool deck, but usually pool decks on NCL are not quiet, peaceful anyway. They're kind of, loud and happening. So I did do the race cars. I didn't love it. It wasn't my jam. I came in last.
Did they have a weight limit?
Do
they have weight?
Yeah, but it's more than me. That said, and I'm a big girl, it was significantly more than me. But that said, it was also, the seats were very small. Like,
okay.
I was in there sideways, I think. I mean, I got in there, got my butt down in there, but.
I don't meet the requirements for Bliss.
It's 260 on the Bliss. And I remember the scale was like green and then red, you know, like, so it didn't have numbers on it, but it was like,
no,
I didn't get on the scale.
But, at least it didn't have numbers on it. That's kind of nice of them.
Yeah, but there's signs to say what the weight limit was. No.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. It was right there. And yeah.
No.
And I heard
that's
I'd
a
heard
fail,
that about,
Norwegian. Yeah. I'm sorry. But
I'd heard
fail.
That about the Bliss. But I had completely forgotten about it. And I can tell you, I didn't see a scale. Nobody asked me how much I weighed. Nobody gave me
I
that
wonder
look,
if it's
you know.
Not as, like, I think the weight limit might not matter as much if you're not on the top of the ship.
What is the top
well,
of the
yeah,
ship?
Well, yeah, because you're propelling, yeah. You know, like it's the gravity and they don't want you to fly. It's a safety thing. It's not, I'm not knocking them for being safe, but I do think they should put the weighing thing somewhere where no one can see you. That's
yeah. Well, there was no weighing thing. So I don't know. I don't know if there's an invisible, like as you walk, it weighs you or whatever, but nobody challenged me. And I was with other larger people as well. We all commented that the car did slow down going up the hill. And so I'm assuming that was related to weight, but it, you know, honestly, it was fun. It's neat to have it on a ship. I feel lucky that I got to do it because I wonder how difficult it is to get a reservation on, you know, normal, sea days. One key thing that, is sort of sticking in my head to keep an eye on is there's no teen club. There's no place for the teenagers to hang out in. There
so
are teen
there.
Programs. Yeah. So they do like, they sign up for a program and they have counselors and they have activities. So I'm guessing that there may be times where the Speedway is reserved for teens only, you know, like for the teen club.
I wonder why they didn't put a teen club on this, because that seems to be the way that like other cruise lines are adding teen clubs or teen spaces.
Yeah, we were a little puzzled in it, and I talked to my teen about it. I was we've had this conversation before too, because when we were on the Wish, I was like, I was surprised at how much he was in the teen club. He said, Mom, we always like to hang out in the teen club until it closes. And then that's when we sort of pack up and wander around the ship. And I was like, that's so interesting. He said, now I will say that I've been on ships where the teen club's really boring and then we leave. So I guess Norwegian has the idea. And honestly, I mean, there's the race cars. There's the Galaxy Pavilion, which is a VR video arcade. It includes an escape room. There's Bullseye, awesome. Which is darts, which was fun as heck. I will tell you that dart thing is so fun. And then there's this whole sort of sports deck that has like, they have a ping pong table that's actually a tube. So when you hit the ping pong ball, it could go all around the tube to the other person. They have soccer where you sit across the table from each other. The soccer ball is under your feet. The goal is under your butt and you kick it back and forth under the table and try to get in each other's goal. I mean, it's
fun.
Really cute. Yeah. They had these really long foosball tables that could have like four people on each side. So definitely stuff for kids to do, plus three dry slides, a water slide. And a mini golf course. This mini golf, I'm a little bitter about this because the executives in our meeting, they talked this thing up and they talked about these magic balls. And I know this is a family friendly show, but they have smart golf balls that will interact with. So it knows when you hit a hole in one, it knows when you hit a certain target. They didn't have them on board yet. So they just had boring, plain old golf balls and nothing worked. And I was so sad.
Yeah.
But when the magic balls are there, I'm sure that it will be a much better experience.
It's going to cut down on people cheating. Unless, of course, you could tap it just right. And, you know, someone's going to figure out a way to hack that, you know.
It keeps score for you. And it triggers. I mean, like, I don't know exactly what everything did, but there's like the final hole. And it's only a 9-hole course. The final hole has a wheel on it that spins. And you could win up to a free cruise if you get a hole in one on that.
Wow.
That's kind of awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, it includes onboard credit, all that sort of stuff.
I see that dry slides. Is there like a water park area on here too?
Well, there's a kids' water park, so the little splash zone kind of thing where they spray you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And yep. I saw you put something on here about wayfinding, which I was really interested in. They have touch screens where you can figure out where you're going and where you need to go throughout the
but But we were constantly lost. I mean, the touchscreens okay. did work, but of course, part of our job is to test things like for the lowest common denominator. So yeah. they don't have anything in the elevators that tells you anything. So if you don't look at the floors before you get in the elevator, then you get in the elevator you're and you're blind. Like, wait, where am I going? You're right. Like,
what am I
so
doing?
It's like, 15, let's try that. There are signs in the elevator banks that tell you what's on each floor, and those are pretty easy to use. But then once you get off the elevator, there was nothing telling you which way to go. And so then you start walking, and then you might see a sign and it says these things are this way and these things are this way. But again, you may be walking through something. So then you don't trust the sign because you're like, but that says I go through the buffet, but surely I don't go through the buffet to get to the pool. So there were a few moments like that. So it works. I think it can be better. I did learn, I was reading the you know, they give us all this paperwork while we're on board and we don't have time to read any of it. So I'm reading it now. And there's a tip in here that I'm like, I didn't know that. All the carpeting in the hallways where the cabins are, every now and then there's a solid arrow in the carpet and that tells you which way is forward. I didn't notice those.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, sometimes there's like fish swimming that way or
yeah, there's like directional. Some of them will put little subtle design.
I did notice a design in the carpet. I was like, this design doesn't really mean anything, but apparently there's solid arrows and I just never saw them that help you know which way is forward and which way is aft. The elevators are situated in a way, this is genius, honestly, where the rooms are set actually back far enough. There's never a room. You know how sometimes you get off the elevators and you turn around, there's a cabin right there. That doesn't happen. It's offset a little bit. And the hallways are sort of doubled up. It's kind of a weird layering kind of effect. So there's nothing that's right at the elevator. So that whole, I don't want to be right by the elevator, it's too loud. That's not really a thing. So
I love being right by the elevator.
I do too.
It's convenient.
Yeah.
Less walking. Yeah. Well, and I will say there is an elevator. This ship has a dedicated elevator for the Haven, which is fine. But when you're not in the Haven and your cabin is literally right in front of that elevator, so every time you come out of your cabin, you look at an elevator that you can't use. It was annoying. Fortunately, the aft elevators were not far. It was just a few cabins down, but still it's like,
that's good to
an
know.
Elevator right like, here.
Why can't I just not use this elevator right in front of my, Yeah, that's good marketing for your next cruise. So you are always going to be in the Haven. That's what that is. We're going to torture these people in this little area until they upgrade their room.
Until you see the price and then you're like, maybe I'll just
do this. So give us a little rundown. I know we've done episodes about christening or naming ships, but you had really cool celebrities on board.
This was definitely different. And I have to hand it to Norwegian. They pulled out all the stops. So the godmother was Katy Perry. So we knew that she would be there for at least a minute. she did about 6 or 7 songs. I wasn't counting, but it was a nice long, after the ceremony was over, she did. It was part of her Vegas act, this mushroom outfit that I've seen pictures of. She had her whole band with her. So it was great. She of course is a superstar. So, it was a flawless performance. There was another performer, named, and I don't know how to, I don't speak Icelandic, and it's got one of the weird letters in it that I'm not sure how to pronounce. I think it's a TH sound. So I think his name is Dafi, but I'm not positive. Icelandic artists are very artsy. I don't know if you've, seen Eurovision, they are and very good at what they do, but definitely alternative. Björk being the prime example of Icelandic art. He was hilarious. And musically talented and just stole. And of course, nobody there knew who he was, but he was actually the Eurovision winner of 2021. He was supposed to actually be Iceland's Eurovision participant in 2020, but of course it didn't happen. So, but he's actually quite well known. And he cracked a couple jokes. He's like, just in case you guys are here for Katy Perry and you don't know why I'm such a big deal, and then he would sort of talk about, but, he was fantastic. But then as the week went by, we realized we had some other guests coming on board. We started making show reservations, and we were making reservations for Kool and the Gang and Chaka
That's
Khan. And we're
so
like,
cool.
Is this some sort of Broadway show or something? But no, it was Kool and the Gang and then Chaka Khan. So Kool and the Gang got on in, I think, Cork and got off in France. And then Chaka Khan got on in France and got off in Amsterdam. So actual concerts in the Prima Theater with them, I guess sort of on the theme of the Donna Summer, the musical, which is the musical on board. The theater is a really great theater, and it transforms into a nightclub. And I've seen all the video and, you know, how it happened. So I had to be, I was like, how can I be in the theater to see how this happens when they transform it? And there is a little hack that I'm putting in our tip sheets, but I'll let our 30 podcast listeners know this as well. for Donna Summer, their musical, what you want to do is you want to go to the last show of the night. Sometimes there's two shows. Go to the last show, sit on deck 7, which is the balcony, but not the balcony. It's sort of the upper level of the orchestra floor, and sit on the sides. There are these box seats, and you'll know them when you see them. And they're open to anybody unless you have a VIP on board that it's reserved for. Sit in the box seats. There's probably about, I'm just going to estimate really quickly, 40 of these seats, maybe 30. Everyone else after the show is over will be ushered out of the theater to the back where the bars are, which you think, oh, well, that's where I want to be. No, because the balcony is ushered to the stage, and you get to dance with all of your friends on the stage with all the dancers and all of the show entertainment staff and the DJ, and you can watch them transform the theater into the nightclub.
That's so cool.
And then when it's done, they pull out these like couch lounge chair, you know, like what you would see in a fancy nightclub that you would probably have to pay like $1,000 minimum for.
Yeah, the VIP bottle service area.
You just walk right down there and you plop your butt in one of those cushy little couches before anybody else can come back from the bar. And there you are in your nightclub seat. So yeah, it was totally fun. Of course, dancing was totally fun, especially if you're going with a bunch of friends. Highly recommend, you know, doing that. And not everybody, they did put it in the program, like in the daily, what is it called? The navigator or whatever it is. But not everybody reads that. I did. So, because I wanted to see the theater transform. So for Donna Summer, it's a regular theater, and then they pulled the seats back. For Kool and the Gang, they had the seats pulled half back so that there was dancing room on the floor. So you could go down and, like a concert, there was like a mosh pit, if you will, where you could dance, and people did. And then for Chaka Khan, she's a little bit older, so it was regular full theater for her as well. So, yeah.
That's so cool. I'm so excited about this, and I'm so excited for the changes. It sounds like they've really kind of overhauled the Norwegian brand for this class of ship. It seems like a completely different experience than what you'd expect from NCL. So you said, say the app needs some work. That's typical of a new ship.
Well, but it's an old app.
I know, we just keep making excuses for these companies, like, but it's an enhancement.
I'm not making excuses for them. And I mean, it was all sorts of wonkiness. Like, it would tell you that you had plans for that day, but when you clicked on it, it wouldn't show any plans. But your TV in your room showed plans. And then there was the problem with the ship time will reset to the shipyard time, which is Italy. And we were in Iceland, which is 2 hours ahead of that or behind that. And then we were in Western Europe, all the way at the west. So we were 1 hour behind. So I literally did not know what time it was for 8 days. Yeah. Like, no idea.
I had that happen in sailing in that part of the world too. It's a very frequent issue, especially like daylight savings time, and then daylight saving times here. And then like one day, I think we changed time 3 times in one day. And at the end of it, I just don't even know what time, I don't know where I am right now. I don't know what time it is. off, but for consistency, if you're sailing soon, the TV. Right.
The TV is usually the most reliable. Yeah. Including the time. The time was right on the TV as well. So, okay. And don't trust them if they tell you to move your clocks, because there was one morning that they told us to do it and they didn't do it. And we were like, what time is it? And they're like, look on your TV. So the other thing to know about Norwegian, and they're very honest about this, there was really no way for them to not be honest, because they had some really high level people on board. Their internet is terrible. It's just terrible.
Yeah.
It's super slow. One of our colleagues was saying that he basically was doing all of his work between 2 and 4 a.m. because nobody else was on the internet. So he could get on the internet at that time. It would drop. It's magical compared to what it was 10 years ago, but it's still, you know, and they said that they're talking to, you know, they're watching what Elon Musk is doing and they're very excited about all these satellites going up in the air and they should be on track for within 2 years to have, you know, high speed internet. And meanwhile, that same week, one of their competitors announced, hey, we've got Starlink and we're going to blow everybody out of the water. And that company already has very good internet. So it's kind of like, hey, Norwegian, this is probably somewhere where you should be.
This is something they could be doing a little better. I mean, I was just on an old ship that I'd been on before with a different company, and I was expecting my internet to be awful. And that was a few cruises ago now. And actually, I had better than I had ever imagined. It's really come a long way. We really have. Yeah. And I know that we are all so used to our instant fiber access that we have at home. And I could imagine.
Fiber? I don't have fiber.
I live on an island and I have fiber. but then we get out in the world and it's, and I just had some tech issues in myself where I was super stressed out. So I can't imagine a whole bunch of people on an inaugural sailing, most of whom were in the travel industry or in travel related, but everybody's on the internet at the same time.
They're in banking and finance, and you know, the CEO of Norwegian Cruise Line and the president of Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings is on this ship. And it's like, yeah, these people got to get work done. So, it's pretty miserable. I would say if you are a client of mine and you're saying that you have to work on a cruise ship, this might not be the right one. Yeah. And it's a wonderful ship in so many ways, but it's like, plan on leaving that email alone for a week. Which my husband did, and he was thrilled with his experience. So, you know, if you can unplug, then do it by all
means. That was probably the best vacation Chris has had in a while.
It's been a long couple of years here in the Karen household. So yeah,
I mean, I can remember whenever going on a cruise was the only time I really did unplug. You know, it's only been like the last maybe 5 or 6 years that they've really, some of the cruise lines have really put a lot into their Wi-Fi and their internet. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, well, as we move to remote work and through after COVID, you know, everybody has Zoom meetings that they're expected to attend from anywhere. You know, we've advertised work from anywhere. And the fact is, you can't always work from anywhere. So,
So question. So they have problems with the app and they're having problems with the Wi-Fi. So how do you, if you haven't made prior arrangements for dinners and things like that, can you just go up to the front and say, or go up to the maitre d' and say, okay, I want a reservation for tonight?
Yep, you can make them on your TV too.
You can make them on the TV. Okay.
Yeah. But you can also walk up. And by the way, based on what I experienced, this is the thing, you know, you want to be as grateful as you can be that you are on this ship for, you know, no cost to me. With Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom, who I got my picture taken with, by the way.
I'm so jealous about that. I saw that.
So cute. you want to be grateful for this, but they told us that we would have the chance to eat at 2 specialty dinings. And then it was like, oh, but we can't accommodate you. And although I understand that this is a special cruise and there's a lot of executives that they have to wine and dine, at the same time, I have no concept. Is it because these places are too small? Can they not handle the people? If I have a client go on who has a specialty dining package, will they be able to get reservations?
Yeah.
These questions remain unanswered. So I'll be watching to see, you know, I didn't have a chance to really know for sure if I feel comfortable with that. And I do feel very strongly that if you're a foodie or even someone who likes food, you'd probably want 1 or 2 specialty restaurants at a bare minimum.
I couldn't do a Norwegian cruise without specialty dining. And I call myself a foodie, but really, I mean, I'm on the basic end of foodie and I would need to have at least two. I would need to have at least probably if the menu doesn't change, I need to have more than that.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what they always, I mean, they always include the specialty dining and the drink package and all that stuff. So, I mean, everybody on that ship is supposed to
get makes me nervous. Yeah.
Let's go back into the food. You said you did get to have one. Did you have one experience?
Three.
Okay. So you told us about the Food Republic. What else did you get to do?
So we did Nama as well, which is also sushi and actually shares several menu items with Food Republic. So it was actually a little bit of a repeat of what I'd already done, but in a different setting. And then my final night, I got to go to Los Lobos, which is the Mexican restaurant. And it was really quite good. There were a few weird things, like they advertised tableside guacamole, and it was delicious, but it just appeared on our table. It was not made tableside. So I don't know if that's a COVID thing or if that's normal. It was a little disappointing. I love the ritual of making, you know, guacamole or somebody else making it. Rather,
For caliber of just for it's, and you don't have to answer this in public if you don't want, you can just tell me later, but the Mexican restaurant, how did it compare to, like, let's say, I don't know, was it the size of a restaurant? Was it the size of a cruise ship dining area? Was the food the caliber of, you know what I'm getting at here? Was it like another Mexican restaurant that's amazing, that's on another cruise line? That's kind of,
I thought it was really, really good. And specialty wise, I feel it's the size of any specialty restaurant on any cruise ship. It's a little hard to tell because they have indoor and outdoor seating. And so when you're one or the other, you can only see one or the other, right? So I felt like there was an ample number of tables. The service was excellent. The food was very tasty. And they had the basic choices that you would expect at a Mexican restaurant, and everything, like, you know, you can go to some Mexican restaurants and the salsa is just but I thought the salsa was really good. The guacamole, not made tableside, was still absolutely delicious. A very good guacamole. You could tell it was very fresh. So I was very pleased with the quality of the food. And I would say that about all of the food I ate. I didn't always love the preparation or the spicing of it, but you know, the main dining room had a pasta, it's a pasta bar kind of thing where you can create your own pasta, pick your sauce, pick your topping. And the pesto was excellent. I didn't love the Alfredo sauce preparation that I had. It wasn't very Alfredo-y. It was, you know, very light on the cream. And I'm a, you know, I like a really, really fattening, give me a heart attack kind of Alfredo sauce.
Palate for Alfredo
sauce. So there was nothing wrong with it. It just wasn't to my taste. So again, the things that I had were good. And I will say about the main dining room too, if you decide that you can't do specialty dining or you don't want to do specialty dining, they do offer one specialty dining item on the main menu each, like a rotating, it's a special each night. So the first night it was lamb chops. The second night it was something from Los Lobos. I don't remember what it was. And it's an extra charge, but if you wanted to get that specialty, you know, if you wanted something different that wasn't going to be on the menu every night, you had that option.
You had to
pay for it.
So I know we kind of, you talked about that and they indulge in the outdoor lounge area, but what about the ocean walk?
Did you walk out on the
Ocean Boulevard?
Yes, I did. And I love the outdoor spaces on Norwegian. I always have. Like, as soon as they introduced them on the breakaway class, I was all about it. This one has a glass walkway. So, you know, you're way up in the air and you look down and you can see the water. And I don't like that. So I did it. And then I didn't want to do it again. I didn't die, but it did not, you know, didn't trip my trigger. So, and of course, half of the cruise, it was chilly outside. So we didn't use the outdoor spaces. Once we got down into Ireland, it got warmer. And we did, like, we had it some time by the pool, and we did get to spend some time at Soleil Bar on the very last day. You know, we finally got to get out there, but I think the outdoor space is great. The Infinity Beach was really pretty. I don't know if on a full ship where it's warm all the time, if you would ever be able to get a chair or even get in that pool, you know, on either side. It was right below our room. So when I looked out on my balcony, I was looking right into the infinity pool. Which isn't super desirable either, but it was fine. But like most days it was empty. And then once it got warm, it was full. It was people soup up there. So
did they have the smoking areas on this ship? Were they in like noticeable?
The casino has a glass room so that smokers go into the glass behind the glass wall and smoke. And then there's the humidor where you can smoke cigars, and you could sometimes smell smoke going by there in the evening, but generally couldn't. I didn't notice it anywhere else on the ship. I didn't notice it in the casino, by the way. I saw the walls, but I didn't ever smell smoke. So
Good. That's really good to know, because it's such a change from what I remember being in that casino area where it like just billows up through the center of the ship. It's kind of can be an issue for people. So are there any other like features or really neat new things that kind of set this ship apart from the other Norwegian ships?
No, I think I think we touched on the key things to talk about. I will say I'd like to sort of put out there that there is a few unique things about the bars to know. And this is true on a lot of cruise ships, but it was just very noticeable on this one. They all specialize in something. And so an example is we went to the Belvedere Bar, which they have their gimmick is sustainable cocktails. And I continually said on this ship, you know, they keep using this word sustainable, but I don't think they know what it means. I don't think it means what they think it means. So they have three main cocktails.
Well, sustainable. You're going to drink it and it's going to go into the sewer system.
Yeah, exactly. Circle of life. They have three main drinks, a gin drink, a tequila drink. Now I'm singing that Chumbawamba song, and a whiskey drink, a bourbon drink. And they serve them in these glass bottles. And apparently these glass bottles are a big deal, because there was something about like the health department said we could never get them clean enough or whatever. And I, you know, I'm like, well, I see that. But of course you've got, you know, high grade dishwashers or whatever. So, but somehow pre-mixing the cocktails and putting them in these bottles and then bringing them to your table in these bottles made it sustainable somehow. And I'm like, are you getting a big vat of Woodford or something? Like, how is that sustainable? Where is the savings in the packaging? I mean, like, I had no idea what this gimmick was about.
That seems like a little bit of marketing, little liberty there.
When I was on the Breakaway in May, their sustainable cocktails were like this coffee cocktail that they had taken all the coffee grinds from all the other coffee bar places, and they had infused the liquor with this. Or it was like this pineapple drink, and they took all the pineapple rinds from like the buffet, you know, where they were cutting up all the fruit, and they would like infuse the liquor with all the pineapple. That's what they were doing with their sustainable stuff on the Breakaway. Okay. So maybe you were missing something.
Maybe they were using, were infusing their own booze. So the Sid Norman's Poorhouse.
That's another really unique place that is a performance venue as well as a bar. Some of the most comfortable furniture I've ever sat in. They have these two leather couches that I really want in my house. But the cover band in there does rock and roll, and they're really good. And one night they actually perform Rumors from the beginning of the A side to the end of the B side.
No way.
Every song, as if you're listening to the album. We did not go in there for that because it's a very small venue and it gets very crowded because it's very popular. But it's definitely, if you're going to go, especially on Rumors night, you want to make sure you go early. And
is that the Fleetwood Mac one?
That's Fleetwood Mac. Okay. And I would have to be there for that.
Yeah.
They also did that on the Breakaway.
Did they really?
They did.
And it was amazing. It was so good.
Everybody
talked about to get me to go to the dark side.
No, wait, is this the album where like they were all breaking up at the time?
This is the Fleetwood Mac album.
They told stories
songs about how horrible he was and made him sing them.
They told stories about the songs and like who was breaking up with who at this time and who, you know, like they who was singing it and who they were breaking up with and like. Yeah, it was awesome. It was a really good show.
That's so cool. Now it's gonna be over.
I love Norwegian's entertainment. I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
So did they have like a are they gonna do like a Broadway show on the ship?
Yeah, Donna Summer the musical is the Broadway show. Gotcha. But I will say, so the other show is The Noise Boys, which is a sort of, it's actually the same producers as Choir of Man. And it's kind of like Choir of Man and Stomp had a baby. they use rap and tap. And beatboxing, that sort of thing. Unfortunately, because we got Kool and the Gang and Chaka Khan, we didn't get to see Noise Boys. They booted it for us. So they're on the ship now. And actually I was pretty disappointed. I would have voted for Noise Boys over Donna Summer the musical. Donna Summer, that musical is great. And her story is one that needs to be told. She really changed the music industry for women, and a lot, you know, she took a lot of big steps for women and especially women of color. And that being able to see that story unfold is really powerful. And of course, it's perfect then to turn it into a nightclub right after that. So it's sort of perfect.
So the improv comedy, is this probably where they do like the music trivia where you act out the song or whatever?
Yeah, they do all their game show. They do most of their game shows in there. That's one thing I don't love about Norwegian is all their trivia is in the form of game shows. I just want some good old fashioned pub trivia.
You want pub trivia, right? You want to just sit at the pub with your little pencil and your beer and just do your thing.
Be able to play on my own. Yep.
I'm telling you, you would.
But it's also the comedy club. And I did actually, I was traveling with others and I got talked into going to the comedy club. I didn't make them talk me into it. I just said, okay, I'll go. And I never enjoyed comedy clubs. Every now and then I'll go to one and I'll usually get dragged to them and I'll be like, okay, this was a fun night. But I always go in with a bad attitude and expecting nothing to be funny and to hate every minute of it. And usually I fulfill my own self-prophecy.
Self-fulfilling prophecy. So no comedy club for you. So does this ship have karaoke?
If it did, I didn't find it. And I did stay up late most nights. So that said, there were a lot of experiences that were late at night. Like, you know, if you're going to see Donna Summer the Musical at 10, then it's over at 11.
So are you calling 10 late?
No,
like, I have to get clarification. So like late for Elizabeth on this sailing is past 11?
Past midnight.
Oh.
Yeah. Because if the show ends at 11 and then they have to transform the theater and you're dancing on the stage and you have nowhere to go because you're not allowed to leave. So I was up past midnight several nights.
I'm very, very glad to hear that, because normally you guys will try and sneak in with that I was up late and it's like 8:05.
Yeah.
Or 8:30, and you're meeting me at the elevator going, oh, I'm not really going to stay out.
It did help that I had no idea what time it was half the time. So, we had very few early morning excursions. Most of the excursions were at, you know, 8, 9 o'clock. So we didn't have to get up super early. So, So the other thing I'll say about the bars is my favorite bar was the local, and I think it had the best bartenders, followed by the Metropolitan. So if you're going and you want to know which bars to go to, those two are my favorite. The problem with the local is it's a walkthrough as well. Everybody passes back and forth through it. So it's not, you know, it's social if you like that sort of thing, but, you know, I don't. So, but they did have some of the best drinks. And then the Metropolitan has sort of a art deco kind of mood, and it's right outside of the main dining room Hudson. So it's great for a pre-dinner cocktail. And one of the people I was with drinks Cosmos almost exclusively. And she said they were the best Cosmos by far down there. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm always jealous of those people who have like one drink, you know, like that one signature. This is the only thing I drink. And
it's
so cool. All right. Well, guys, that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends all about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever it is you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you, and don't forget to like and subscribe on YouTube. On behalf of Donna, Sandy, George, Elizabeth, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.